Hello and welcome, everyone, to another edition of the CSPOA.org's Weekly Wednesday webinar. Myself, Jack Mullen, along with Sheriff Mack. Here we are in the nearly the end of December already, a year that went by in a flash. I can remember being here the first Wednesday in the year with Sheriff Mack talking about what a year we're probably going to have. Well, it's already over, and it seems to be going faster and faster. But regardless, it is an exciting time in everyone's lives, certainly probably something you want to tell your grandkids about as we battle all the forces that seem to be collecting at the same time. Sheriff Mack, before we get started, I want to remind everyone that 2026 is the year we hope to double our membership. We want posse members. We need posse members. We want to be reckoned with, and the more posse members we have, the more we can be. We can send people out on the streets. We might even bring people in who can afford to do some of their own advertising of the CSPOA. Certainly, it'll build our coffers up a bit with new members, even though it's not very expensive, but each one counts. And we need every dollar we can get because we're taking this fight to the street. That's the only place it is. And look around, it fights at the street. And we absolutely have to have more armaments in the form of dollars and cents. Anyway, that's one way. We can also support you through purchases at the store. Right now, gold and silver are going up. I was just reminding Sheriff Mack that there's a meeting scheduled for Friday that's an emergency meeting with the CFTC. And these are the people that are in charge of whether or not gold and silver can continue to be sold in the United States, or they're going to put a hold on it. Silver rising today. They tried to bring it down this morning and it was at 66. They brought it to 63. It's almost 67 now.
It actually went above 67 for a few minutes and then went back down. But this is the move with silver is absolutely phenomenal. It's historic. And folks, you still should be buying silver. And I've also been very impressed with platinum. Platinum has doubled in the last year. Platinum was below 1,000. Not even a year ago, just several months ago. And it has doubled in the within the last ten, but basically 9 or 10 months.
And they're all monetary metals in some respect. I mean, gold and silver being the primary ones, and they're also legal currency in the original and still existing Constitution. They were made, done away with in 1933, but nonetheless, they're going to come back. And those other two metals are platinum and palladium. They're very valuable assets as well. So you could maybe diversify.
Just for the heck of it, when I was buying some silver, I bought a 1 Swiss ounce of palladium and I think 3 or 4 of platinum. And I just did it on a whim. I wish I had bought
Not
a
trouble.
hundred of them. Man, I wish somebody would have told me. I shouldn't have been joking around and messing around. I should have really got serious about that. Being able to say that you doubled your money in a year, there's very few investments on Wall Street that will do that. There's been a few, if you'd have bought Bitcoin at, when it was 5,000, people tried to get me into Bitcoin at 6,000. And then my son tried to get me into it at 36,000. So yeah, and I didn't do any of them. I just have never been comfortable with Bitcoin. And I'm not a big investment guy anyway. I have an annuity and it's a very small one, and I didn't start it until like 5 years ago. Because why? Because I don't have a retirement. So folks, if you think I got a retirement in law enforcement, I did not. Okay. So I was with Provo Police almost 12 years. I took out my retirement to move to Arizona and to start my campaign. And so I took it out. And then 8 years as sheriff, you don't get a retirement for 8 years. So that was that. And then I tried to get back into law enforcement. I ran for sheriff of Utah County, where Charlie Kirk was murdered. Yes, very same place. And 1 year almost to the day, as all of you will remember, 1 year from I beat the Clinton administration at the United States Supreme Court, June 27, 1997. The FBI and IRS raided my office on a search warrant aimed at one of my clients. For some reason, they put my name on it. And for some reason, the headline in the Provo Daily Herald said, "Mac raided by the FBI." And the election was 3 days later. So, 3 working days later, because that was on a Thursday. And so Friday, I got on the news and tried to do all the damage control I could. There was a state's senator by the name of Glenn Way, who was a good friend of mine, and he got on the news with me, and he was really criticizing the FBI and IRS for bringing me in on that. And it looked like he was right, because afterwards, what happened, Jack? After I lost the election, that these guys were so petrified that I would be sheriff in the second largest county in Utah, I never heard from them again. Not one word. A bunch of papers that they took out of my office, they sent those back via UPS. They sent those back to me at my office. That was the only thing I ever heard from them. That was it.
In the night.
Everything they took out of my office, which was very little, but it was a bunch of paperwork. They sent it back to me. Did I ever get interviewed? No. Did I ever get indicted? No. Did they ever take me before a judge or arraignment or anything? Arrest? Nothing. Nothing.
How about
They got what they
apology?
wanted, and that was it. So folks, we still need to be careful, and I would warn all of you to be careful, especially if Trump loses power next year. They will try to impeach Trump again, especially if they get the numbers. Even if they don't have the numbers, they already tried once already just a few weeks ago, Congressman Green, if I remember right.
That's
But
right.
at the same time, they're not going to just go after the big shots. They're going to be going after us. And they've already gone after Christian schools, Christian universities, churches. And folks, you will never hear anything racist on this program because we are not. And that's not the way I was raised. Everyone was welcome in our home. I keep telling the story about my English teacher. My freshman year in high school was Mrs. Greenbaum. I didn't know that was a Jewish name. I didn't know she was a Jew because she was no different than anybody else. No one ever. And she was good friends with my mom. She was in the book club with my mom. My mom never said, "Oh, well, that's a nice Jewish name," you know. And my dad was never home, so I don't know if what he thought about the Greenbaum name, but I never heard it from him or my mother, and everyone was treated the same. My mom was very good friends with a lady that was black, and she was in our home a lot, and her name was Mrs. Lott, Nurse Lott, and I graduated from high school with her daughter, Thelma. And I just saw Thelma at the Safford High School that I went to because she was at the 110-year anniversary of our high school. And that was in October. And I hugged Thelma and told her how much I missed her because I haven't seen her since high school. And folks, it just doesn't matter to me what religion you are or if you're not a religion. And it doesn't matter to me what color you are or who your daddy was or who your mom was. It just has never been an issue to me or anyone in my family. And that's the way it should be. So our hearts go out to the people who are being oppressed around the world, the horrible shootings that have taken place. Our prayers are with you. And anyone else that is, like right now, a good friend of mine, his wife is suffering from cancer. And it's just really a sad deal. She has to be in chemotherapy for the next 6 months. I didn't talk to him about how I questioned the efficacy of chemotherapy, but I just told him I'd pray for him. And we have been. And folks, for all of you that have any sickness or disease or illness, we pray for you. And I have a sister-in-law that's got cancer right now, and I have a brother that has cancer right now, and I had a cousin that just died of cancer, and we're just losing too many people, and my heart is full right now with all of that. But Jack, at the same time, it's Christmas. A week from today will be Christmas Day. I love Christmas. Everything about Christmas, I really love. And I spoke in church this past Sunday. They asked me to speak in church. And I don't know if they were afraid that I was going to get off on government issues and politics. So they gave me a scripture specifically to talk about. Yeah. And the scripture was Isaiah 9:8. And that's every time I quote that scripture, it's so difficult for me not to sing it because it comes from Handel's Messiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government, and I really stress this, I said it twice, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And folks, if the governments and the world, and if our government was on his shoulder, we probably wouldn't need to have this webinar today. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. If there was ever a time we need the Prince of Peace, it is now. And so, what do? First of all, we put the Prince of Peace in our hearts and we pray that he will heal our hearts and heal our land, and that we can return to those basic fundamental principles upon which America was founded. And one other thing that I said about the Christmas spirit is, to me, a little ceramic of Santa Claus kneeling before the Christ child's crib and kneeling at the crib of Jesus Christ, to me, that embodies the spirit of Christmas. I like the Santa Claus part, but I also like it even better when Santa Claus kneels before the Christ child. And I think all of us need to do that, obviously, and that we need to have our children and grandchildren understand why we share gifts. And it's the shepherds who bore testimony of him, and also the wise men. And three kings found the Lord, and so can we. And that comes from the Forgotten Carols by Michael MacLean. Three kings found the Lord, and so can we. And what a great example the first Christmas is to all of us in every respect. And so, anyway, that's my Sunday school Christmas lesson for the day. I will remind all of you, I've said this before, I've said this numerous years at Christmas time, because I do speak Spanish pretty well. MAS means more. And so I believe that the title Christmas is saying Christ more. So, Merry Christ More, all my dear friends and members of the CSPOA Posse. I thank all of you for being a part of it. I will tell you and remind you that there are some wonderful specials for Body Align, and there's a wonderful special with Numana Foods right now. So go to our website and get your supply of Numana Foods, and get a year supply of Body Align patches. I mean, I love these patches. Did I take the ones off my shoulder? Oh, nope, they're still there. So I've been really having some shoulder pain. See, I didn't even know they were there. That's how comfortable they are, folks. So my wife has about seven or eight since her surgery on her shoulder. She keeps a bunch of them on her shoulder because she knows they work. And they do work, folks. Also, the Christmas special for getting a challenge coin, a CSPOA challenge coin. Instead of $100 and instead of $99 for membership, you can get a challenge coin and a 1-year membership for $75. Okay? So make that donation today. Make sure you put your address so we can send that coin to you. Folks, we will still get it to you before Christmas. Okay? We'll put it in a priority package. We pay the shipping. That's $11. So it's a real deal for 75, a 1 year membership, and the CSPOA challenge coin. And those challenge coins, let me tell you, those are hot, hot, hot. And the law enforcement officers in law enforcement and fire department that do those challenge coins, man, you want to get you 10 of those and get moving on that. Now, if any of you want more, we'll knock the price down for more coins. So you just let me know how many you want, depending on how many you get. We'll knock the price down. So $75 will get you one coin, 1 year membership in CSPOA Posse, and we'll get those off to you by tomorrow. Ha ha. So thanks, Jack. That's enough of, I guess, my Christmas message. I'll probably close with one also, but we've got a lot going on.
No doubt. We have a lot of action, certainly in Minnesota. I guess if you want to kick that off. We see that, it's a quite a place of turmoil right now and many fronts.
Can you believe Minnesota? Can you absolutely, any of you, can you believe Minnesota? And so I'm sorry. I am not prejudiced against Muslims. I have no prejudice against them. But I am absolutely shocked that people would elect, and that means a lot of people have infiltrated Minnesota to get Ilhan Omar elected to the United States Congress. Are you absolutely kidding me? One is that there should be some loyalty to America by anyone that serves in Congress. And she has none. She has none. And she's been defending the Somalis that have created the biggest fraud crime in American history. Billions, and it's getting bigger every day. They have a jerk for attorney general for the state. His name is Keith Ellison, and that's not even his real name. He changed his name to run. And now he came out. And Jack, do you have the article on that, or do I just need to tell the story?
I have the two videos that you provided for me. Is that what you're talking about?
You
The
want to
Keith
show any one
Ellison?
of those?
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, let's let people see the story in real time.
Right. So we have the one that says video shows chaotic scene during ICE operation, and we have the one about Minnesota Sheriff blasts Keith Ellison. Would you like to play that one first?
That's fine. Yeah, start with Keith Ellison. Because when I toured there 2.5 years ago, when I toured there, well, it was about 3 years ago, a communist organization inside America, I think stationed in Montana, actually wrote a letter to Keith Ellison telling him to make sure that if any sheriff or law enforcement came to any of my seminars there, the 11 days I was there, I did 10 seminars, that the day we requested that Keith Ellison's decertify them as peace officers of Minnesota. So I called his office and I said, "What the hell's going on?" And he wouldn't even talk to me. His assistant told me, "Good luck." I said, "What if I need security?" She goes, "Call the local police." I said, "The local police are saying the one they wouldn't provide it." I guess I thought sheriffs were going to come and take care of me. We actually had more Catholic priests come to my events than we had sheriffs because they really got scared and didn't come. So we had two sheriffs show up. We had about four or five Catholic priests. So I even have a picture with some of those Catholic priests. I absolutely loved them and they loved what we stood for and loved what we were doing. They came to our event. Yeah. So go ahead.
Minnesota's Attorney General pushes back on a plan that would allow sheriffs to cooperate with ICE. Meet the Minnesota sheriff ignoring the warning and taking a stand for law and order next. Mille Lacs County Sheriff Kyle Burton is my guest. Sheriff, always good to see you. Thank you so much for being here. And of course, thank you for your service.
You too, Liz. Thanks for having me on.
Now, you're one of seven sheriffs in Minnesota to enter into what's called the 287G program, which allows your agency to assist with Immigration Customs Enforcement, or ICE, in identifying people for arrest and potential deportation. It's a program I know that's been around for a long time, about 30 years. It seems in Minnesota, though, almost very necessary now, since our Attorney General Keith Ellison says that under state law, law enforcement agencies cannot hold someone on an immigration detainer alone. Now I understand he's digging his heels in to say that this 287G program also violates state law. But tell us about this recent letter you received from the Attorney General and why you entered into this program months ago.
So the letter came Friday. The reason that we joined the task force, or that I felt it was necessary for us to do that, if nothing else, it's a deterrent, I think, because if there are, you know, violent criminal illegal aliens that are perhaps intent on setting up shop here in my county to do nefarious things, perhaps the fact that we've got 14 287G task force officers in a small county like this would be a deterrent to maybe not do so. For me, it's about being prepared. And, you know, I think, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. I've always said that. And so for us, it was more just preparation. And anything we can do to partner with our federal partners to make the county safer, I think is a good thing.
So there are three types of 287G agreements that you can enter into. You're in what's called the task force model. Explain how that works.
Yeah, so you have three agreements you can enter into. You've got a jail model, which mostly involves detaining of folks that are here illegally. You've got a warrant officer model, and then you have the task force model, which is what we're in. And that's more of a collaboration between us and ICE agents. It allows us to go out in the field and assist them in apprehending certain individuals who they've deemed to be kind of the most dangerous. And you've heard, I'm sure, representatives from DHS talk about our priority right now is the worst first, as far as how to tackle this problem we have in this country of the amount of people that are here illegally. And certainly the worst first would be those who are here not only illegally, but have also committed, you know, violent or heinous crimes while they're in the country illegally.
You know, Sheriff, we were able to accompany ICE on a recent ride along. You could clearly see how these partnerships are so valuable in many states. There is that cooperation, not the case in Minnesota, but you can see how these agents are basically then forced out into the field, whether it's homes or businesses, rather than just doing a pickup from the local jail. You have to kind of wonder that this is our Attorney General in Minnesota, our top law enforcement officer. I mean, that's what the Attorney General of any state is. So why would they be against something like this that really centers around safety?
That's a great question. And, you know, I think it's the Attorney General and the governor of Minnesota have both been very much opposed to the president's stance on illegal immigration, cracking down on border security. I mean, our governor has been quoted publicly referring to, you know, ICE agents as the Gestapo.
Donald Trump's modern day Gestapo is scooping folks up off the streets. They're in unmarked vans, wearing masks, being shipped off to foreign torture dungeons. No chance to mount a defense, not even a chance to kiss a loved one goodbye, just grabbed up by masked agents, shoved into those vans, and disappeared.
So, you know, when you have that kind of rhetoric being said by top-level officials such as the governor and now the attorney general, who is clearly not in support of this program, it's troubling. I mean, their political party, they're both Democrats, that's no secret, has very much not been in support of, you know, the current administration's efforts to secure the country. And the reality is the vast majority of America voted for this. So I why they're opposed to it or why they want to seem to throw up roadblocks, I don't understand it.
So you're planning to push forward, ignore this warning, I guess. In that letter, the Attorney General says he plans to issue a formal opinion in the coming weeks that the 287G agreements, quote, do not comply with the Joint Exercise of Powers Act, and they're null and void. So how do you see this resolving itself?
It's a good question. His letter is sort of twofold. So he specifically says that it's his opinion that the 287G agreement that I entered into is not valid because the Mille Lacs County Board of Commissioners did not also sign on to it. So that's kind of the first part of his letter. I disagree with that. There's a statute in Minnesota, Chapter 387.03, which talks about the authority given to the sheriff by statute. And it gives the sheriff very broad authority under that to basically do whatever the sheriff deems necessary to keep and preserve the peace of the county. So I disagree that I don't have the authority to enter into the agreement without the signature of the county board. And then he goes on to say that even if you do enter into an agreement with the county board's authorization, he still says it's against Minnesota law to detain somebody solely based on a civil ICE detainer alone. And again, that's not the focus. I mean, if you talk to the folks at DHS, that's not their mission set right now necessarily either. They're going after the worst first. Again, those dangerous individuals that I spoke about earlier. And we're not seeking to go out and detain people unless they have, you know, warrants that actually have a judge's signature on them. That's what our focus is going to be here. Obviously, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. And the letter, you know, the Attorney General can render whatever opinion he wishes. I mean, everybody has the right to their opinion, I suppose. But I would much rather see him making better use of not only his time but our taxpayer dollars than wasting time sending a letter. And to be frank, he didn't even send the letter directly to me. He had an assistant do it. He didn't even contact me directly, which is kind of disappointing. Police chiefs and sheriffs. You saw Sheriff Witt, my friend in Hennepin County, the other day publicly talking about this reckless policy that's latest nonsense to come out of the Hennepin County Attorney's Office, where she's not going to prosecute felony crimes from low-level traffic stops. It would have been awesome to see the Attorney General publicly denouncing that policy, but he was nowhere to be found on that. He wasn't anywhere to be found a few months ago when myself and the other sheriffs were down at the Capitol begging the legislature to commit funding for more mental health facilities so that we don't have people in our jails who are mentally ill that do not belong in jail in there. We want them in the appropriate facility. Keith Ellison was nowhere to be found on that either. And so instead, he seems to want to spend his time writing letters like this, you know, or beating his chest at a vigil for a recent active shooter incident that happened in Minneapolis that he's suing Glock. I think there's way better things he could be spending his time on than things like this.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep. Okay.
So, first of all, everyone should generate a lot of comments because, first of all, he's absolutely correct about one thing. The Attorney General, first of all, I would have liked to have heard Sheriff Burton say, I don't answer to the Attorney General, and I don't answer to the county commissioners. I think he called them the Board of Supervisors or Board of Commissioners. So I don't care what he calls them, but there's very few states that actually call them the Board of Supervisors. Arizona and California do. And I don't care what they're called, but the thing of it is, your sheriff does not answer to them except to work out his budget. Now, if he were to have to start spending a bunch of money to work with ICE, he would have to redo his budget or request a budget increase from them. And they could absolutely say no. Can he work with them anyway? Yes. He just wouldn't be able to spend any money outside what he's already been budgeted, what his budget was approved of by them. Okay. He can't go outside that unless he gets their permission. That is a financial check and balance. They are not his supervisors. He doesn't answer to them. He is elected by, for, and of the people. Those people are his supervisor. And so I tried to call. In fact, I did call his office. I didn't get a direct line. I left a message. But I imagine he's getting lots of calls like this. And I'd like to ask Stephanie right now, you, Jack, and Stephanie, if you can, or Stephanie, to look up this Liz Collin lady. She has a podcaster. I would like to get interviewed with her. I'd really like to be on her podcast or be interviewed by her. Liz Collin. And let's see if we can get me on her show before Christmas. I would love to do that. She's good. I liked her and I liked her point she was making. But Sheriff Kyle made the point. The attorney general can give his opinion, and so can I. And his opinion is no more valid than the barber on Main Street. His opinion means nothing. In fact, the way he alluded to it, why doesn't he really do his job and go after people who are not enforcing the law that they're supposed to be? But how a sheriff enforces the law and who he works with to keep the peace and to keep criminals out of his county is up to him and his constituents, his boss. That's who it's up to. And when you get these leftist extremists in office, they go crazy because they're not going to do anything to support President Trump. And that's what's going on here. Also, this is the exact thing, same thing we're fighting in Washington State that we're still raising money for. So, folks, yesterday I signed the contract with the hotel that we're putting our speakers in. And I really hope we get some donations to pay for that contract. So, anyway, maybe like the Florida event, we'll just have to sacrifice my credit cards to the holy cause here. So, folks, we really could use the help. And I know many of you have. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Merry Christmas to all of you. But we sure need some more help financially to make this happen. And yes, Jack, I want to reiterate this. I pray every day that the good Lord will bless us with the talents and the alms that we will have enough to have this national conference. And I've talked to some other groups about it, and I've talked to some other people about it. And they say, boy, we're going to be praying for you. And folks, just praying is not going to get it done. We have to step up, and the right people have to ask the right question, the people who have the money. The widow's mite comes into play in this. You know, somebody that gives $50, $100, $500, and it really is money that they need, but they give it to the holy cause of liberty. And then we have millionaires and billionaires who could do this easy. And a lot of people, a lot of us know wealthy people. And if we could raise that $3 million and have a national conference of what are we doing? We're doing the exact same thing in Washington that we need to do nationally and get 1,000 sheriffs in one room. What that folks, that gives me chills right then even saying that. You know why? Because the action is immediate. The result of what they could do if those thousand of sheriffs were united in doing what Sheriff Burton is doing, there'd be no stopping this. And I'm not talking just about working with ICE. Yes, we need that because of the millions of cartels and terrorists and human traffickers and drug traffickers that have been allowed into our country that were not just allowed, they brought them in on planes. The Biden administration flew them in. And who paid for that? Was it George Soros? Maybe it was others. Maybe it was Gates. Maybe it was Zuckerberg. You know, we don't know. The problem is we don't know. And maybe some of us do actually know. But is there a criminal case that would be, is there probable cause there for a criminal case? Let's see, somebody paying to obstruct justice and to aid and abet illegal aliens coming into the country. We're talking about gangs. Who do you think paid for all the hundreds of Tren de Aragua gang members that came, that were flooding and taking over apartment complexes in Colorado? How do you think they got here? You really think those people walked here 5,000 miles? They did not. And do we know that a lot of these illegals And cartels were actually hiding out in airports around the country? Yeah, they were. How do you think they got here? Are they trying to destroy America from within? As if the Democrats needed help with that. I want to know, I don't want to ignore the tremendous thing this sheriff did because it was the right thing to do. And that is what we're after at the CSPOA. We want the sheriffs to do this. And this one did it because it was simply the right thing to do. And thank you, Sheriff Kyle Burton of Mille Lacs County in Minnesota. And he's one of seven. There's about 86 sheriffs in Minnesota. That's clearly not enough helping with this. And there's other sheriffs helping. But this is seven that really joined in and signed a deal with ICE, and more power to them. Imagine now having 1,200 sheriffs nationwide doing that. 1,500. There's 3,086 sheriffs in America. If we have half of that, we're going to win this, folks. We're going to win. 550 sheriffs stood against COVID-19 mandates. And look at what they did. And Pastor Ernie Sanders in Ohio went to his sheriff and said, "Hey, I'm not going to the press with this. I'm just going to you, sheriff. I'm not closing my church, and I want to make sure that you protect us." He says, "You got it. I'm with you." And that sheriff went to the church several times. That's America. That's a constitutional sheriff. So congratulations to Sheriff Burton. I'm still going to try to call him again. I hope he calls me back. We're going to invite him to Washington, be there with us, and to probably speak and tell his story about this. And folks, this is the CSPOA in action. And like I said, he did this on his own. The backdrop of all of this is the sheriffs are starting to hear about what's going on, or a good sheriff sees the opposition and the dangers and does his job to stop it. Thank you, Sheriff Burton. So God bless
Great.
him. God bless Sheriff Schwank, who's been on this show. God bless Sheriff Wagner in Adams County. And God bless Sheriff Bob Songer. Those three are sheriffs in Washington State where they are attacking the office of sheriff. One thing I want to ask Attorney General Keith Ellison and Attorney General Brown, I can't remember his first name, in Washington State. Does the sheriff have the responsibility to obey and coincide his efforts with the Supreme Court case known as Mack Prince v. U.S.? That victory, won by sheriffs for sheriffs, would a sheriff be responsible? Attorney General Ellison, Attorney General Brown, would a sheriff have the responsibility to enforce and obey those Supreme Court decisions? I have my opinion on it. I want to know what your opinion is. And we're going to, in fact, I'm going to call Attorney General Brown in his office tomorrow and invite him to come to the press conference so that we can ask him that question in person. And is there anything wrong? Would a sheriff have the responsibility, Attorney General Ellison and Brown, to help get cartels out of their counties? Would they be required to get rid of gangs, bringing in drugs, and participating in human trafficking? Would they have a responsibility to try to get those people arrested or deported? Would they have that responsibility? So, a couple of good questions, I'd say, Jack.
Yep, definitely good questions.
So, what struck you about Sheriff Burton?
Well, I mean, he seemed confident, and I felt like that he probably already was had been familiar with you and the materials because that came from that sort of feeling that I understand that I am the sheriff and I can do what I need to do here. I'm not going to say it in the same way, but I'm going to stand my ground. And so, I felt like that was awesome. I think that that's the kind of individual that they need all over Minnesota. And but what I wanted to know, you know, is he said he that they weren't DHS wasn't arresting anybody without a warrant. And we've had this conversation before, but that is such a burden that, you know, how can they imagine that they can actually get a warrant for all sorts of people that they don't even know who they are? So I suppose they're just going after the ones that have been identified in a previous case or some sort of activity.
Yeah, and of course they need the eyes and ears of the community. And of course, the sheriff being involved, there's not too many people that know the outlay of the county and what looks out of the ordinary and better than the sheriff. Mm-hmm. And of course, Tom Homan needs help from the sheriffs nationwide. And this is picking up. And as we've said before, all of the sheriffs in Florida are helping, because they've seen the criminal element there. And look, Florida is only, what, 95 miles from Cuba? And Haiti's not too far off from that. There's been invasions from people in the Caribbean islands going into Florida. And some of them are cartels, and some of them are terrorists and human traffickers. But some of them just want to escape. And there's a way to siphon through that, folks. And the vetting process must happen. Barack Obama said that there must, when he was president, so we're talking 12 years ago, that we need to vet anybody trying to come into the country, and allowing the illegals just to come in and not be vetted is unsafe and should never happen. That's from Barack Obama. Boy, he's sure singing a different tune today, isn't he? But that's the Democrats for you, and they always will, just depending on who's in power. Yeah. So anyway, Jack, I was thrilled to know about Sheriff Burton and that he has six or seven others with him. But again, I'm pretty sure there's 86 sheriffs in Minnesota. And I've traveled the state. I've seen most of the state myself. I've seen a lot of lakes driving around the entire state. So, folks, we want to make sure that you're involved in this process. And like I said earlier, look up an email on the website of your sheriff. Leave a phone call. Leave a message. Ask to see and meet with the sheriff. If they ask what it's about, say, I want to know if he's a constitutional sheriff. Please have somebody call me and tell me about that. I would like to talk to him. And I want to know what that means, what he thinks that means. I want to know if he took an oath of office. What did his oath of office say? Is he keeping his word? I think we have a right to know that. Did he take an oath of office, and why? And does he understand what that means? I am one of his supervisors. He reports to us. And I am one who helps appoint him every election. And I have a right to know all these things. Don't make me try to be apologetic about finding this out. Do I want you to be tactful? Absolutely. Be diplomatic. Be friendly. If you do get a visit, make sure you take cookies with you. You know, I would prefer enchiladas myself. I'm an enchilada freak. Folks, I love enchiladas. I could make up a batch of enchiladas right now in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes. Right there, I can do it. And even without my wife's help, if I need to cook some ground beef to go with it, then it'll probably take me 20 minutes. But I can do cheese enchiladas just like that, haystack style, and I can have them done in 10 minutes. So if you want to challenge that to me, you know, make that challenge and put that on Zoom. Maybe I'll show you guys how I do that. But when I was a school teacher, I actually did it at school, and I had to, and I got permission from the principal to cook them right there. And I brought a hot plate to cook them right in the classroom. Okay. And the students timed me, and the dang cheaters, they actually got it when they counted to nine, and I didn't know it. They tricked me. So, but I did, I beat the 10 minute clock, And all 20 of them had a plate of enchiladas within 10 minutes. Except Ian, not the Ian member here, the Ian student, he got two plates because he was really hungry. Yeah. So anyway, folks, I want you involved. The only reason I brought up the enchiladas is take something, take cookies. The dispatchers and the people in the briefing room and the front office, wherever it is, whatever, how they have it set up, they love the cookies. They won't last very long, I guarantee you. Okay? So do it, be nice and be congenial, but be firm. And make sure that you get something out of this, and that is a definite explanation from your sheriff. Is he a constitutional sheriff, and does he know what that means? Has he ever had our training? Then, now you're in. Get your foot in the door and tell him, hey, Sheriff Max willing to come out here and do the training. In fact, he toured your state 3 years ago. So he'll be glad to do it again. Okay? So where else are we're getting close to getting close to answering everybody's questions.
That video that you, the second video that you had some examples I wanted to ask you about. We don't have to watch it, but.
Oh, sure.
It really seems strange to me to watch the ICE agents being harassed by the public so badly. I mean, so we're living in a world where we have an enormous number of people don't belong here. We already have problems as they are, and we have states losing their identity as an American, you know, state because they're becoming some other thing, like in Dearborn. Yeah.
And definitely Minnesota.
Yep. In Minnesota, we see in this video that you sent me the same thing. There's nothing but Somalians standing around, but you have all these basically white women standing around with snowballs, throwing them hard at the ICE agents and screaming at them. And I just don't understand that. I don't understand what everyone's thinking here. I mean, I know people have got big hearts and all that stuff, but they're just attempting to get certain people out of here that it said in the video that they were identified as problematic people, you know, someone who's done something that is against the law and they're not even legal. So what would those people?
I understand the hate being spewed by the media, the hate being spewed by governors and mayors and other leaders, and they think that they have a right to do something about it. In a poll, they said that we have a right to kill people we disagree with, and 25% of Democrats actually said that. And then the response about Charlie Kirk's assassination from Democrats is absolutely scary. It's petrifying that people can actually talk like that, that they celebrated it. Yep. And I don't. Every now and again, it was very rare because people weren't that stupid. But there's a few stupid people that said, whoa, man, somebody needs to take out Barack Obama. I said, no, they don't. Absolutely not. Are you totally out of your mind? No, we don't do that here. That's not America. And killing somebody that we disagree with, or killing somebody that's an extreme danger to our country, as some presidents have been, we do it right. And this is a peaceful and effective and powerful solution that we're after. And killing has never been that. And I abhor violence, and I'm grateful that the good Lord blessed me as a peace officer that I never had to kill anyone. And I don't want anyone to do it that way. Is there a time that we might have to do that and defend ourselves against our own government in America? Maybe. That's a maybe. But it's not now. And we need to keep our wits about us and remember that being smart and having the Lord on our side is essential to all of that. The Lord be with us, and we need to be smart and measured in our response to tyranny.
Agreed. Well, it's a tough world for some of those people. I mean, I always thought of Minnesota as just this like quaint little peaceful, you know, lake state. And wow, the stuff that's happening up there is very strange. We had a couple of different things that we could still continue to speak about. We have, I had a lot of little Waltz things on there, but you know, we never spoke much about him, but I don't think I've ever seen anybody that represents a government of the United States that is clearly more insane.
Oh my gosh. And he was going to be vice president of the United States. Oh my goodness. That the people that don't like Trump or JD Vance, put them next to Kamala and Waltz.
Yeah.
And you're going to fall in love with Donald Trump and JD Vance. And a show just recently asked me, what are the three best things that Trump has done in the first year? First and foremost, secure the border. They've actually had illegal immigrants coming across. Okay. And I've said all along, and he's starting to do this too. Stop all immigration until we get all this figured out. Mm-hmm. Stop all legal, illegal, don't matter. Let's figure this out because they're finding ways to skirt the system. All right. And I'm also in favor of making it easier to become a U.S. citizen, but it still has to be very vetted and with a lot of security measures intact. Okay. Second one, pardoning the innocents from the January 6th lies of the leftist media and the Biden administration. Putting a man in prison, Stuart Rhodes got 18 years in prison. That's twice as much as most murderers get. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't even there. Mm-hmm. And then people that committed if they even committed a crime at all, it was a simple trespass. And some of those people got 3, 4, 5, 6 years in prison. And this was a political witch hunt, and Donald Trump ended it, and he pardoned these people and got them out of these Biden gulags and torture chambers, and God bless them. And I've talked to a few of them that got out, and they told me what was going on in there and how they were deprived of food and a blanket and sunshine. And yeah, and that's the innocuous stuff. So the murders that they committed that day of Roseanne Boykin, Boylan and Ashley Babbitt, they committed the murders that day. There was no murders committed by any of the protesters. They lied and said there was, but that was a lie, and we all know it was. That's been documented. Okay. So the third one is he got up before the United Nations on September 23rd, just of this year, and he tore them a new one. First president in history to ever really stand up to these evil communists. And he told them, you're doing nothing about China. You're doing nothing about Russia. And you still have them on the International Security Council. And you're doing nothing to create peace. And you charge everybody a bunch of money and you're corrupt. And the only thing Trump didn't do is get us out. And he needs to do that. That needs to be the big step there, next step there. And he's firing Jerome Powell from the Federal Reserve. He needs to fire all of them. But we've made huge headway in those three and then a couple other steps. And we still need to get a Planned Parenthood defunded. And right now, it looks like the Republicans are ready to acquiesce on defunding Planned Parenthood if they can get this new deal to keep the government open. If you're going to compromise on defunding Planned Parenthood, shut it all down again. But make sure you're not paying Congress when you do it.
Yeah.
So I guess, Jack, I guess we need to announce no posse meeting next Wednesday.
Yeah. Goes without saying. And the weekend after, or the week after, probably. I don't know. That's up to you.
The week after is big time football day.
Yep.
And it's New Year's Day. And it's my wife's birthday.
Ooh.
So next 2 weeks, folks, let's take it off and let's get ready to get back to banging the second Wednesday in 2026. Boy, can you believe that? It's 2020. I haven't even got used to 2025 yet. Now it's already got to change that. But I would testify in any court that time is moving faster every year. And there's no question that it is.
I would stand behind you and swear you're right. All right. Well, thank you. I mean, as a group, we all hope you have a very Merry Christmas. You get to relax a little bit. I hope you're going to stay home for a few days and
Well,
sit
we're
around and
spending a
talk
lot of
about it.
time with grandkids. We went to grandkids' events last night. We got more this weekend. And that's kind of a goal that we have is to do that. And Don and I are doing that together. And we absolutely love seeing them perform and see how their faces just light up with Christmas thoughts and well, sugar plums dance in their heads. So again, everybody, Merry Christ more.
Very good. All right. Well, happy New Year too, and we'll see you next year. And everyone the same. Enjoy your holidays. Who knows, this might be the last normal Christmas we have for a while. I've got a lot of work to do next year. Love
Wouldn't
you all.
surprise me. There's a lot on the horizon, folks. He's absolutely correct.
All right. Bye-bye, Sheriff Mac.
Goodbye.